The Book Nook on WYSO is made possible by five local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Clark County Public Library, the Dayton Metro Library, and the Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and today I'd like to welcome to the program Jarrett Kopack. His book, The Future Won't Be Long, just came out. He joins us by telephone from New York City. Welcome to the program, Jarrett.
Oh, hey, thanks for having me.
Jarrett, I heard about your previous book. I haven't read it, but I heard a lot of people did. It was called I Hate the Internet, and you put it out last year. I understand you published it yourself. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I had written the book, and I was of the opinion that it was a book that would do well, but I could not get anyone to publish it. I couldn't even get people really to read it. And, you know, after a few back and forth, I sort of felt like the window for that book, and actually I think this turned out to be really true if you look at what has happened since it came out, which was February 2016, that the window for publication was closing. So I had been around small press people, and I thought, you know, this doesn't seem that hard. So I put together a press, and we've since gone on to do other books after I Hate the Internet. And I released it into the world, and it had really just mushroomed into this crazy thing that I still am dealing with, which is nice.
And it's true, isn't it? You really do hate the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, I lived in San Francisco, for about 4 or 5 years, and it was just the weirdest experience, because this was like around when the Arab Spring was happening and all of this stuff, and these handful of multinational corporations headquartered in and around the San Francisco Bay Area were being heralded as, I don't know, as like the liberators of the world's oppressed peoples. But meanwhile, I was living in the Mission, which was sort of like the high watermark of the class war brought on by these companies. Mm. And you could just see people being kicked out of their homes after 40 or 50 years of being there to make room for Facebook employees. And the disconnect of it really just pushed me over the edge. And I ended up writing a very angry book about the internet as a result.
Well, I'm sure you've probably noticed, even though you hate the internet, that Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook is testing the waters. He might be running for president. How would you feel about that? Would that just be the ultimate for you?
Oh, I would be delighted by it because, you know, I think the thing, with the exception of our president, which is a whole other story, mm-hmm. Generally speaking, when these people jump into politics, they get crushed by the experience. And I think watching someone that hasn't been told no in 15 years or however many years it's been, watching him receive the ultimate no, that is the political arena, would be fascinating.
Yeah, Meg Whitman's a good example of that.
Yeah.
But we digress. Jarrett, this new book, The Future Won't Be Long, this is a story of friendship, and your main character is a guy named Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read the book, I thought, is this Jarrett? And I thought, no, it can't be. It can't be Jarrett. But there's some of you in this guy, isn't there?
Yeah, he's a mixture of autobiography and then the life of a handful of friends, of really close friends, and he's a little bit like this Horatio Alger character who comes to New York in 1986 and learns how to make his way against this backdrop of the East Village and the club scene.
He comes from a rural area in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
As you start the book, you start it right off by saying his parents are dead. I'm not going to say any more about that. And then we figure out way near the end what happened to them. And we almost kind of forget about it. But Baby goes from Wisconsin to the big city. He's gay. He's kind of a lost soul. And when he gets there, he meets a woman. And this is the beginning of a really intense friendship, isn't it? Tell us about her.
Yeah, it's Adeline. And she, later, because I wrote this book before I Hate the Internet, I ended up using her as the protagonist in I Hate the Internet. And she's, you know, she's a rich, wild girl from Pasadena, California, who goes to New York to sort of escape almost like this Bret Easton Ellis milieu that she grew up in, to sort of engage with the East Village art world. And, you know, she kind of adopts and saves Baby. And then over the 11 years of the novel, they make each other better, essentially. And it becomes this meditation on the meaning of these really deep friendships that I hope we all have in our lives, the one or two friendships that just last forever and change us completely. And so that sort of becomes what the book is ultimately about.
Jarrett Kobach joins us, and we are his 13th interview today. The Future Won't Be Long is the book. It's a novel. And you alluded to the fact that the Mission District in San Francisco is being taken over. They're driving out the people, making it too expensive for them to live there, the longtime residents. And this is really what's happened in Manhattan, too. And you set your book in that period of time when people could still afford to live in Manhattan, and things were fairly beaten down. We had the crack epidemic. We had lots of squatters. You can't really afford to live there anymore if you're a starving artist, can you?
No, not at all. I was just in the East Village yesterday, because I'm in New York right now, and it's completely transformed, even from when I got there, which was relatively late in the game. It's unrecognizable. It's like an international-themed shopping mall.
Baby becomes a club kid as the story goes on. And I'm not that familiar with that culture and that time period. I didn't realize who was real and who wasn't. I knew some of these clubs were real. Was there really a Michael, is it Alig?
Yeah, Michael is a real person. He's on Twitter. He was like the king of the club kids. After Andy Warhol died, Andy Warhol had sort of run the New York underground for about 20 years, and there was this power vacuum, and Michael just rose to the top of it and sort of set the tone for everything. And, you know, it was really interesting because he and his friends would end up on Donahue or they end up on Geraldo, and they had kind of a national and international presence based on what they were doing in a handful of clubs in New York, and it was all really fabulous. And then it ended in tragedy.
Baby ends up going to NYU and becoming a novelist, kind of like you.
That is one of the autobiographical aspects of it. He becomes a science fiction novelist, which I think ultimately, if I could have done it, I would have. But I just didn't know how to do it. And so it's this interesting thing. You see him start out with no idea of who he is or what he wants to be, and then is shaped by the world around him and starts writing science fiction. That part of him is a little bit based, actually, on Jonathan Lethem.
Mm. Who we just had on the show recently.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. You also mentioned Bret Easton Ellis, who makes an appearance in your book, kind of a wild party scene. This book is getting comparisons to his work, isn't it? I find this all rather bizarre.
Yeah, I constantly am compared to Bret Easton Ellis, which I'm good with because I actually love his work. But I think it's probably because I live in Los Angeles, and I'm interested in a certain type of urban milieu. The funny thing about his appearance is that he actually fact-checked it.
Ah.
So, we got him a copy of the book because he had been a very early supporter of I Hate the Internet and posed with the book in this French cultural magazine that really sort of started the madness around that book. So we got him a copy of this book, and he read it, and he was fine with his appearance, except he didn't like the music that was playing in his apartment in the book. So I changed it to what he suggested.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very funny.
My guest is Jarrett Kobeck. His book is The Future Won't Be Long. As I was reading the book, I love it when I turn a page and I see where you're on a roll, where I can look at those pages and see, look, this is one big, long paragraph. Here he's on a roll. And I'd like to just pull out a little brief excerpt for our listeners just to give an example of what I'm talking about when you really get going. And here's a little excerpt that I particularly enjoyed.
Sure.
Okay. Historically, the enemy has been evil rich people and stupid people. The latter are used by the former, trapping society within a death cycle of pretense, the great myth of an America that flourishes in spite of rather than because of her laws, a world in which the zombified corpse of Ronald Reagan embraces profound and systemic industry deregulation and is followed into the presidency by Bill Clinton, a backslapping Southern politician who never saw a civil protection that he didn't detest. Both men abandoned probity, abandoned good thought, abandoned rational thinking, inhaled the jargon-saturated monocultures of Hollywood and Wall Street, both men well aware that the ability to sparkle on camera could blind an entire nation. Who cared if these rabid animals destroyed the fabric of society? Who cared if the weak and the idiotic were left vulnerable to predators and parasites? A cowboy actor with a chimpanzee sidekick and a philanderer playing his saxophone on the late-night talk shows. I've grown into an adult at the exact moment when society had abandoned adulthood. Man, when you get going, don't you? And you just just keep going.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of using the novel to deliver a rant of some commentary.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Well,
it's one of the things about doing a book this long is that you find, if you put that in a smaller book, maybe it would be really disruptive. Mm. But because this is a very long book, suddenly the text can incorporate these things that otherwise you wouldn't be able to get away with.
And by the end of the book, by the second and the last chapter, when we get to December 1996, the chapter Baby Attempts a New Book, that's when you really have the coup de grace with that rant in that chapter. That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. It would be bizarre if I didn't. I have done 12 other interviews.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna read. We'll leave that for readers to enjoy. But man,
sure.
You're nailing it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important when you're doing these things because, you know, ultimately I am a big, big fan of Victorian literature. And I like one of the things that I think we've lost from Victorian literature is the novel as a tool of moral instruction. And that sounds really heavy-handed. But I do think that, you know, if you are writing about this stuff, it behooves you to think about the situational context in which it's all happening and hope to engage with that in some way.
Well, I was impressed. I don't know how old you are, but you throw in these little tidbits here. Like at one point, you mentioned the name of an album by Fairport Convention, but you don't say their name. And it's left up to us to figure that out if we know what the reference is.
Yeah, I think... Well, I think that's the way that people talk about things, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
and that was the whole idea. Because there's a way you can criticize this book as being really name-droppy, and I think that's a fair criticism. But I would hope that the name-dropping simplistic in the way that people just do name drop things. No one's, you know, I don't know, no one's like, well, last night I listened to Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. They just say I listened to Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
So it's an attempt to try to get a realistic sounding voice and how people interact with culture. And that's all people talk to each other about anyway, you know?
Mm. Well, I read the book with a great deal of pleasure. A lot of these places I haven't been to. One I've always heard about, I've never been to. I understand you're going to be there tonight as we are recording this. You mention it a number of times in the book, and that's the legendary Strand Bookstore in New York City. I understand you're going to be interviewed by Ivy Pakoda.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
We had her on for Visitation Street. I'll bet you're looking.
I just finished reading it. It's a great book.
Yeah, and she's got a new one just coming out.
Oh, I didn't know.
Do you know her?
I've met her a couple of times because she lives in Los Angeles, so we're friends. But I like I said, it's only been a few times. But she very kindly agreed to do this because one of the weird things is that I don't actually know anyone in New York. And Viking, who's published The Future Won't Be Long, was like, well, can you do an event with someone? And it's like, I don't know anyone. And it turned out that Ivy was going to be in New York. So she very kindly agreed to do it. And she blurbed the book, too. So
I saw that.
A double kindness.
Well, Ivy, she's got something in common with Baby, a background in athletics. Baby, he's got kind of an edge to him. You don't want to mess with Baby.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the idea of the book is that, in terms of his character development around that, is that it's a book which preaches a suggestion that sex can make you less violent, right?
Mm.
So, which is not something that often gets discussed in the culture, but which I think is actually quite true. It's like we all have really crazy friends who then get into a relationship and calm down. And so as Baby has more sex, as the book goes on, he becomes less and less violent, and he sort of works it out.
Mm. The book is The Future Won't Be Long. Jarrett Kobach joins us on the program today. You have Baby go out on book tour. He's signed a contract with the big publisher Doubleday, and you talk about how he goes to a book signing and he talks, is that what you do?
I've tried to get it more into conversations actually because I can do that. I've done events because I don't like reading. Because I think I'm actually a terrible reader of my own work. And so when I first started doing these things, I'd just sort of go out and talk. And then, you know, that particular part of the book is drawn from life, where you do sort of find these things falling into a certain pattern. And I've found that when you have someone to have a conversation with, it goes in directions you could never anticipate and has pleasures that one person on a monologue does not.
Well, I hope you were okay with me reading from your book because
you did a much better job than I would, I can assure you.
I just wanted listeners to get kind of a sense of how intense you can get. And
It's a book that has a lot of tones. Like I said, I think it's that virtue of the really long book. You can get many, many different things in there.
Well, I looked you up on the internet.
Yeah.
And you've got a few little footprints and fingerprints around. I didn't see that you had a website. Of course, I didn't really look that thoroughly. And I see that maybe you were on Twitter about 7 years ago and then you just said, forget this. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think I tweeted three times, mostly just because I don't even know. It's so long ago. But yeah, no, I used to be on the internet a lot when I was younger, which was like in the ultra primitive proto days of the internet. And then really stopped using it like in that way. I mean, I'm still emailing constantly. because I just started to feel very disquieted about the direction it was going. And I think that has proven to be a prescient decision, because the decision it seemed to be going in seems to be where the decision seems to be what really has determined its fate, where we are now.
Well, it seems to be a massive dumbing down of our culture when we're thinking in terms of liking things,
mm-hmm.
like a Facebook like. You know, it's like, this is so shallow.
Yeah. Well, you know, Zadie Smith wrote this really amazing essay about Facebook, in which she pointed out that the way you interact with Facebook is essentially the way that you interact with things and people in junior high.
Mm.
And that maybe that emerges from Mark Zuckerberg's emotional maturity at the moment of its inception. That, like, you know, like if you remember what Facebook used to ask you, and still does, but really used to ask you, it'd be like, well, what's your favorite book? What's your favorite music? What's your favorite movies? That these are the conversations you'd be having when you were 13 years old or 14 years old. And that seems to be the emotional tenor of our lives now.
Well, originally it was just a way for certain college students to get together.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really designed for an adult audience, was it?
No, not at all. Not at all. And like I said, her essay about that is brilliant in drawing it out.
My guest is Jarrett Kobach. His novel is The Future Won't Be Long. I understand you also wrote, I believe it was a novella, where you get into the mind of one of the hijackers who crashed into the World Trade Center. Is that true?
Yeah, I wrote a book that was published in 2011 called Atta, which is about Muhammad Atta, essentially the lead hijacker. And it was, the thing about it that was really weird is I had just been reading about him and doing some research out of whatever curiosity. And there's a book by this guy named Terry McDermott called Perfect Soldiers, which is a nonfiction account of the hijackers. And the thing that he keeps returning to in his book is that Atta had a huge amount of architectural training. He had done his BA in architecture and his MA in urban planning. And his thesis was about the city of Aleppo and wanting to tear down all of the high-rise buildings that had been built in Aleppo over the last 30 or 40 years. And it struck me that this was an entry point into reexamining 9/11 from a slightly different perspective, because we hear about it in terms of religion, and certainly there was a religious motivation, unquestionably. But Muhammad Atta had no religious training. He did have architectural training. He did have urban planning training. And he had gone on the record, essentially, as being in opposition to high-rise architecture. So it became a way in to thinking about 9/11 and, you know, the world right prior to that moment.
Through the lens of an architectural critique.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh. What, was that also self-published?
No, that was on this press out of Los Angeles called Semiotext, and it's a very short book. It's about 32,000 words long, mm-hmm. I think.
I think you mentioned that this novel, The Future Won't Be Long, is something that you wrote a while ago, actually before mm-hmm. I Hate the Internet. Do you have a drawer full of these manuscripts that you're going to be producing?
I wish that I did, because it would make my life a lot easier. No, this is really the only thing that that got published out of order, essentially. So it turned out to be, you know, the timing in a weird way worked out very well, but it was really frustrating for a few years, because, again, it was another one of these things that just no one wanted to look at.
Well, as we're recording this, you're in New York City. You're there for this event at the Strand. You've been doing a satellite tour today. We are your 13th interview. I wasn't kidding about that earlier. This is your official publication date. Are you excited? Are you nervous? What are you anticipating?
Yeah, I always feel a little strange when a book comes out. Actually, it is exciting. I mean, it's amazing. It's clearly the culmination of a lot of years of work to be published on a major in this way. In terms of what I'm expecting, I don't know. We'll see how it does. Someone asked me how I felt the experience had gone. I was like, talk to me in a week, you know, because ultimately I hope that people buy the book and I hope that people read it and enjoy it and engage with it, but maybe they won't. You know, it's always a very nervous moment.
Well, I see you have an event next month at City Lights in San Francisco. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have a very good relationship with City Lights and with the guy who is the events coordinator there, Peter Maravellis. They've been good to me over the years when basically no one else was paying attention to me. So, and that's amazing, right? Like, that's the coolest bookstore in America. And so it's nice to have them be in your corner.
I'm trying to remember, is Lawrence Ferlinghetti still with us?
He's still kicking.
He must be 90-something.
I think he's like 97, 96, 97.
Amazing.
I don't know if it's still true, but he used to go into the office every single day as recently as a year or two ago.
Well, he's certainly a legend, and that bookstore is his legacy.
Yeah, he's a really amazing guy. What he did is without precedent and continues to live on.
Jarrett Kobeck has joined us on the program. We're talking about his novel, The Future Won't Be Long. It just officially was published today as we are recording this, and we're going to let him go because he's got interview number 14 coming up here in just a moment. What's the last book that you read that really knocked you out?
I just read a biography of the writer Kathy Acker, which was written by Chris Krauss, who did I Love Dick. And it's coming out in a couple of days, and it is a really interesting book.
I don't know even who this person is that the biography is about.
Oh, she was like an experimental writer from the 70s and the 80s, and she died quite prematurely of cancer in the 90s, and really was a person who was out there. And Chris has done a really amazing job of capturing her life and capturing the moment that she was in.
You read a galley of that?
Yeah, I did. It's on Semiotext, who published Otto, so I made them give me a copy.
Well, in your book, The Future Won't Be Long, Pasadena and Los Angeles comes off as fairly vacuous, yet isn't that where you live?
It is where I live.
And you love it, don't you?
Pretty much, yeah. I like the vacuity of L.A. It lets you know exactly where you are and who you are and how you're situated, which isn't clear in other places.
Well, Jarrett, it's really been a pleasure talking to you about your work.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been Jarrett Kobeck. His book is The Future Won't Be Long. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McInnes.